His good eye moved again to Harry's scar. He seemed simultaneously terrified and mesmerized.
Yes, the thing is, helping Harry Potter, rather dangerous.
Aren't you the one who keeps telling everyone it's their first duty to help Harry, said Ron, in that magazine of yours? Xenophilius glanced behind him at the concealed printing press, still banging and clattering beneath the tablecloth.
Yes, I have expressed that view. However...
That's for everyone else to do, not you personally, said Ron. Xenophilius did not answer. He kept swallowing, his eyes darting between the three of them. Harry had the impression that he was undergoing some painful internal struggle. Where's Luna? Asked Hermione. Let's see what she thinks. Xenophilius gulped. He seemed to be steeling himself. Finally, he said in a shaky voice, difficult to hear over the noise of the printing press,
Luna is down at the stream, fishing for freshwater plimpies. She will like to see you. I'll go and call her, and then... Yes, very well, I shall try to help you.
He disappeared down the spiral staircase, and they heard the front door open and close. They looked at each other. Cowardly old wart, said Ron. Luna's got 10 times his guts. He's probably worried about what'll happen to them if the Death Eaters find out I was here, said Harry. Well, I agree with Ron, said Hermione. Awful old hypocrite, telling everyone else to help you and then trying to worm out of it himself. And for heaven's sake, keep away from that horn. Harry crossed to the window on the far side of the room. He could see a stream, a thin, glittering ribbon lying far below them at the base of the hill. They were very high up. A bird fluttered past the window as he stared in the direction of the burrow, now invisible beyond another line of hills. Ginny was over there, somewhere. They were closer to each other today than they had been since Bill and Fleur's wedding, but she could have no idea he was gazing toward her now, thinking of her. He supposed he ought to be glad of it. Anyone he came into contact with was in danger. Xenophilius's attitude proved that. He turned away from the window, and his gaze fell upon another peculiar object standing upon the cluttered, curved sideboard. A stone bust of a beautiful but austere-looking witch, wearing a most bizarre-looking headdress. Two objects that resembled golden ear trumpets curved out from the sides. A tiny pair of glittering blue wings was stuck to a leather strap that ran over the top of her head, while one of the orange radishes had been stuck to a second strap around her forehead. Look at this, said Harry. Fetching, said Ron. Surprised you didn't wear that to the wedding. They heard the front door close, and a moment later Xenophilius had climbed back up the spiral staircase into the room, his thin legs now encased in Wellington boots, bearing a tray of ill-assorted teacups and a steaming teapot.
Ah, you have spotted my pet invention, he said, shoving the tray into Hermione's arms and joining Harry at the statue's side. Modelled fittingly enough upon the head of the beautiful Rowena Ravenclaw. Wit beyond measure is man's greatest treasure.
He indicated the objects like ear trumpets.
These are the Rexperth siphons, to remove all sources of distraction from the thinker's immediate area. Here,
he pointed out the tiny wings,
a billywig propeller to induce an elevated frame of mind. Finally,
he pointed to the orange radish,
the dirigible plum, so as to enhance the ability to accept the extraordinary.
Xenophilius strode back to the tea tray, which Hermione had managed to balance precariously on one of the cluttered side tables.
May I offer you all an infusion of Gurdy Roots?
Said Xenophilius.
We make it ourselves.
As he started to pour out the drink, which was as deeply purple as beetroot juice, he added,
Luna is down beyond Bottom Bridge. She is most excited that you are here. She ought not to be too long. She has caught nearly enough plimpies to make soup for all of us. Do sit down and help yourselves to sugar. Now,
he removed a tottering pile of papers from an armchair and sat down, his Wellingtoned legs crossed.
How may I help you, Mr. Potter?
Well, said Harry, glancing at Hermione, who nodded encouragingly. "It's about that symbol you were wearing around your neck at Bill and Fleur's wedding, Mr. Lovegood. We wondered what it meant." Xenophilius raised his eyebrows.
"Are you referring to the sign of the Deathly Hallows?"